seed collections, kindly donate as generously as possible. JazakAllah.
بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. أما بعد, إن شاء الله, tonight's recitation we will be starting with سورة الأنفال. We'll conclude with سورة الأنفال. We'll then go on to سورة التوبة or سورة البراءة, and we will do the vast majority of سورة التوبة or سورة البراءة. سورة الأنفال, both of these surahs are Madani surahs. They are both revealed in Madinah Munawwara. One was revealed right in the beginning of the Madani period, and the second, meaning the first one that was revealed in the beginning of the Madani period, was Surah Al-Anfal. It was revealed right in the beginning of the Madani period. The second one, Surah Al-Bara'ah, Surah Al-Tawbah, was revealed in the latter part of the Madani period, to the extent that some of the Mufassirin say it is one of the last surahs that were revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These surahs, and all Madani surahs, they speak about ahkam. But these two surahs in particular speak about a topic which we don't like to speak about. Let's put it like that. They specialize and they focus on jihad. So I'm not going to go into the tafsir of it for obvious reasons. Right? But just to understand, they speak about the majority ahkam that apply to it. Because Surah Al-Tawbah, Surah Al-Anfal. Right, Surah Al-Anfal was revealed immediately after Badr. That was the first battle that took place in Islam. So the ahkam that took place came down immediately. Then Surah Al-Bara'ah, Bara'ah literally means disassociation is the right word, but Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, quite simply put, they washed their hands off with anything they had to do with the mushrikeen of Makkah or the mushrikeen of the Arabs. They said, enough, finished. And you need to understand the background to that. Right? Bara'ah came down, or bara'atum min Allahi wa rasulihi إِلَى الَّذِينَ عَاهَدْتُمْ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That first ayah of the surah, it refers to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. The Treaty of Hudaybiyah was perhaps one of the most oppressive treaties signed in the history of Islam. The Muslims had everything. They had every right. Despite that, they were prohibited from entering Makkah Mukarram. Number one. Number two, if a person accepted Islam and came to Medina Munawwara, the treaty dictated that the Muslims must return him back to Makkah so that he may be killed. He didn't do anything wrong. Not that he committed a crime, he then accepted Islam in order to run away from the crime. No. He said, you know what? I want to accept Islam. So he goes to Medina Munawwara. What's the rule? Must send him back. They pushed it one further. Any woman that does that as well. Allah Ta'ala said, no, 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 no. There's a line you can't cross. And the line was, okay, we'll let the men go, they'll become shaheed. But the women, no way. If a woman comes, we will offer the full protection of Islam and Muslims, no matter what happens. And we will keep them. You want to go to war? Chalo bhai, let's go. Right? So Bara'ah, the Hudaybiyah. So, but the thing was, when the Muslims saw that treaty, they came in form of ihram to perform Umrah. They were not allowed to enter Makkah Mukarramah. You know what happens, right? When you can't, when you can't perform your Umrah or Hajj, and you have to get out of ihram, you become a muhsar. You have to slaughter an animal in order to become halal. You can't just take off your ihram and say, you know what, I couldn't go, finish, khalas, no. Doesn't work like that. If you tie your ihram, you make the intention of ihram, you go into the halat of ihram, the state of ihram, then the only way you can come out of ihram is either you fulfill the nusuk or you slaughter an animal within the precincts of the haram. The Muslims weren't rich. Now they all had to sacrifice an animal as well. The Muslims, some of them, the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, were not questioning Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but they couldn't understand the wisdom behind which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did that. Including the likes of Umar radiallahu anhu. Not some, you know, one Sahabi accepted Islam yesterday. We're talking about senior Sahaba. Eventually Umm Salama radiallahu anha told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do what you have to do. Shave your head. Slaughter the animal. They will follow. Don't worry about it. So it was a very oppressive treaty. But despite that, Allah Ta'ala told the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, don't worry. This treaty will be the downfall. And you will win in such a way that tomorrow no one from the Arabs can say, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam killed his own family and then took over Makkah. And so it became like that. The mushrikeen, they themselves ended up handing over the keys of Makkah Mukarramah to the Muslims. Why? They broke the very treaty they signed, or they enforced. They broke it. And after that treaty was broken, Allah Ta'ala sent down the majority of the surah. Bara'atum min Allahi wa rasuli ila alladhina ahadtum min al-mushrikeen. Now a few things. Surah Al-Anfal, going back to the first surah, it literally means the booty, the spoils of war. To understand, in the previous sharias, before Islam, if a Nabi or if Muslims went to war, the spoils of war that were gathered, they would have to be gathered in one field. And Allah Ta'ala would send down a fire to consume all the spoils. And if a fire didn't come down, that would mean either, number one, someone has taken something from the booty, or number two, that fight that took place was not done correctly. Meaning, I don't want to use the J word, but you all know the J word. We'll just say the J word, right? Khamakha, you know, some people get a bit too happy for no reason sometimes. I'd rather avoid that. It's called looking after yourself and looking after the community as well. A bit of both. Don't want any excited teenagers getting too riled up and then kaha se kaha baat nikal jati hai. So, the J word, right? The J word wasn't done for the sake of Allah. But when it came to Islam, Allah Ta'ala made the booty halal for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But there were few requirements, etc. So that's the where Anfal, the term Anfal comes from. Now, the first thing, Allah Ta'ala starts off the surah. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْأَنْفَالِ قُلِ الْأَنْفَالُ لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ. O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are asking you with regards to the booty. Say, Al-Anfalu lillahi wa rasul, the booty, it is distributed according to how Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam deem fit. فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهُ وَأَصْلِحُوا ذَاتَ بَيْنِكُمْ. Fear Allah and repair your relations. This is the first surah that is coming with regards to fighting. And what is the first commandment of Allah? Ittaqullah, fear Allah. But that is the very basic, that, you know, without that you can't have Islam. So we won't count that as the first commandment. What is the first commandment? Wa aslihu dhata baynikum. Correct your relationships. We need to become united. Unfortunately, the Muslim Ummah is the most disunited Ummah you can ever find. Why? When it comes to that one Qawm, no matter where they are around the world, no matter what color they are, no matter what language they speak, no matter how many generations ago they actually practice what they so-called believe in, when it comes to doing certain oppressive actions against us, they are so united you can't believe it. You go to their communities within this country, they will never buy from any other community except their own community. Our people, we will go there just so we don't give business to this person. Why? Because you know that time he parked in front of my house and I couldn't park there. Ajib. The first surah of fighting, what's the first thing Allah Ta'ala tells you and I? Repair your relationships. Salahuddin Ayyubi, rahmatullahi alayh, even his predecessor, Nuruddin Zingi, or Zangi, however you want to pronounce it, rahimahullah. If you look at the history, when was the fights against the Crusaders? How many years did they fight against so-called Muslims? They spent more time fighting against so-called Muslims than they did against the Crusaders. Why? Because the biggest enemies were the Muslims. We are the architects of our own destruction. The ahwal that we see around us are simply because of us. تَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمُ كَمَا تَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ إِلَىٰ قَسْأَتِهَا أو كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, a time will come. The nations will gather. And they will call one another to come and attack you. Just as, you know, your mother, when the food is cooked, everyone come for iftar. Like that. And they will come running. What is the cure? What is the response? Become united. Unite on the small things, you'll then be able to unite on the larger things. But when we can't unite on the smallest of things, where will we ever unite on anything else? Now I should just add here, things like the moon issue, etc., that is okay. There is a scope of difference within Sharia. Where there is a scope of difference, you can disunite on it, no problem. You won't call it unity or disunity. You'll call it exploring differences of opinion. Whether a person does raf'ul yadayn, doesn't do raf'ul yadayn. Whether they do ameen bil jahr, say ameen loudly, or they don't say ameen loudly. Whether they recite Surah Fatiha behind the imam, or they don't recite Surah Fatiha behind the imam. That is all okay. We are speaking of unity. You know, brotherhood. Not fighting with one another. Throughout this surah, obviously, like I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the rules of the J word come about, a lot of them. A lot of encouragement for it as well. A lot of encouragement. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also speaks about akhirah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the hypocrites and the munafiqeen, etc. as well. Before, it's just nice to know, if you open the Quran and you go into the 10th juz, you go to Surah Bara'ah, Surah At-Tawbah. You will see there is no Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim written there. So, the Mufassirin have given many, many opinions. Some have said, no, Surah Al-Bara'ah is actually, in fact, a continuation of Surah Al-Anfal, but it came down later. However, there are hadith which say, no, that cannot be the case. As a matter of fact, Jibreel alayhi salam, or Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi salam, said there were two separate surahs. But he didn't say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim there. The question is, why? First question, do we read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim or do we not read Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? So if you are starting your recitation of the Quran, so let's say you just open the Quran and you open on that page and you're going to start in that surah. So you will say, A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. But let's say you're already in process of reciting the Quran or you are carrying on from the surah before that, Surah Al-Anfal. In that, you will not say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You will just carry on. And one of the reasons why Allah the Mufassirin mentioned that perhaps this is the reason, is that they say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke very harshly in this surah. Allah ta'ala was not speaking of mercy. Allah ta'ala was not speaking about Rahman and Rahim. Allah Ta'ala was speaking about Jalal, Jabbar, Zul Intiqam, the powerful qualities of Allah, the punishment of Allah. That is why Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, the verse wherein Allah's mercy is mentioned, was not recited upon here. فَشَأْنُكُمْ بِهِ, that is the opinion of the Mufassirin. That all we need to know is that the first masla, whether you read Bismillah, you don't read Bismillah. In this surah, there are a few ayat. Just one, two of them, I'll touch upon them, right? One of them. This is one of my favorite surahs, you know? Surah Tawbah. No, not because of anything, right? Please don't get any wrong ideas. I just have a Shuraim's recitation, one of his older recitations. So I just have that on repeat sometimes in the car. That is why it's one of my favorite recitations. Nothing else. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions, وَلَئِنْ سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. This applies especially to our youngsters. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ إِنْ نَعْفُ عَنْ طَائِفَةٍ مِّنْكُمْ نَعَذِّبْ طَائِفَةً بِأَنَّهُمْ كَانُوا مُجْرِمِينَ. When you ask them, لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ. That why are you making jokes about Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Why are you making jokes about the salient features of Islam, of the qualities of Islam? So they answer, oh, you know, we're just joking around. It's just a joke. No, I didn't mean it like that, you know. If you come across the Christian community, the Jewish community, any other community, they make a lot of religious jokes, so to speak, where in the name of joking, they mock their God. They mock their religion. And unfortunately, our youngster community, with the advent of the meme generation, they also do the exact same thing. But understand one thing. قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell them, are you making a mockery with Allah, with His ayat, with Islam, with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then, لَا تَعْتَذِرُوا. Enough. Don't make excuses anymore. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. This is very important. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. You were believers. You had iman. But because of this action of yours, كَفَرْتُمْ, you became a kafir. You disbelieve. Understand, to make mockery of the deen of Allah is not a joke. It tantamounts to kufr. Some would say you become a kafir. Your nikah is broken. If you die in that state, we will not read janazah salah over you. Your inheritors will not inherit from you. If your father were to pass away in that stage, you will not inherit from your father. It's not a joke. The ahkam of riddah apply according to some, not everyone. Because the ayah is very clear. قَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ. Please, my brothers, my sisters, make jokes. No problem. Have fun. No problem. No one is saying it's haram to have fun. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make jokes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would listen to jokes. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would sometimes sit with the Ansar and ask, not ask them, but listen to them, relating stories of their, you know, their funny things, the pranks they would do, and stuff like that. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would smile. He wouldn't laugh. Laughing wasn't one of his things, but he would smile. And he would smile a lot. That was his laugh. So it's completely permissible. But draw the line. Just as you and I won't tolerate jokes about our parents, similarly here. That is also, you know, unfortunately our younger generation, mom's life. Bawakuf kisam kaadmi. Mom's life, wala. Here they say, you know, slap sometimes, you know. Stupid. Ajeeb. Anyway, just two more things, right, we'll end off here. One more thing, actually. Throughout this surah, these two surahs, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about one thing. Spending. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about it in three different forms. One is the mushrikeen of Makkah. They were spending money so that they can prevent people from entering the haram, meaning the Muslims from entering the haram. They were spending money to turn people away from Allah. That is one. The second is those they were spending money and they were doing everything wrong. And they would use that spending of, they were spending the money in the correct avenue. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله. So what they would do, they were running the haram, etc. And they were saying, you know what, because we are running the haram, we are, you know, we special. Allah said, no, 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 no. Iman, salah, zakah, all of that comes first. You can't, you know, masjid needs 500 grand, right? Anyone wants to give? Please give. But if you don't, listen to me, right? If you put down 500,000 pounds tomorrow and say, that's it, everyone reading salah here for me, I don't need to read salah anymore. What will we tell you? Gada kisanka, you know, gada kaika, get out of here. What stupidity is that? So that was the second category. The third category, or rather the first category for us, is that they were spending in the path of Allah. You know, وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَةٍ وَمَا تُنْفِقُوا مِنْ شَيْءٍ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ يُوَفَّ إِلَيْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تُظْلَمُونَ. Now, فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ here refers to, again, specific, but, you know, we can make it عام as well, inshallah. So, I just wanted to say, I've gone way over time here, but I just wanted to say, because I've been asked to say, remind the brothers, inshallah, tomorrow the masjid will be doing some fundraising for the outstanding approximately 500 and something thousand pound debt that is on their heads. Right? I come here once a week, and then I come in the month of Ramadan. I can't tell you what the good work that is happening. I can only tell you what I see. And I see a lot of brothers in front of me. And for me that is very good. Alhamdulillah. Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukru. Right? But in order to continue good work, money makes the world go round. So brothers, please bring out your checkbooks or increase your spending limit on your cards, whatever it may be, and inshallah donate some. Allah Ta'ala will reward you. You are not donating for, mashallah, Imam Sayyid or Imam Aziz. You are not donating for Uncle Shokat standing in the back or for Muhammad with his fancy neon vest. You know, you are donating for yourself, for your future generations, and for your community. Every penny you donate, every brick you put, every sand, every drop of water, whatever, you will be rewarded for it. You know, Allah Ta'ala will ensure you are rewarded for it. Make dua unto Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala grant us the best of both worlds. Akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanallah walhamdulillah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح قد قامت الصلاة قد قامت الصلاة الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله استووا استووا أقيموا صفوفكم وسدوا الخلل الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين إن للمتقين مفازا حدائق وأعنابا وكواعب أترابا وكأسا دهاقا لا يسمعون فيها جزاء من ربك عطاء حسابا رب السماوات والأرض وما بينهما الرحمن لا يملكون منه خطابا يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينذر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا.
الله أكبر.
سمع الله لمن حمدا.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألم تر كيف فعل ربك بأصحاب الفيل ألم يجعل كيدهم في تضليل وأرسل عليهم طيرا أبابيل ترميهم بحجارة من سجيل فجعلهم كعصف سمع الله لمن حمدا.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
الله أكبر.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami' Allahu liman hamida.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Sami' Allahu liman hamida.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.